What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 4th. Happy to everyone who celebrates. And of course, we are going to talk about baseball. Michael Wacha, six innings pitch, one run, two hits, three walks, and eight Ks was my lead yesterday with 17 whiffs, a co-share of the Gallows Pole. And all I wanted to do is say, look, these are situations in the year where there's a guy who everyone's ignored for a while because he hasn't been very good, but we know that there is some talent in there. We know that there is a possibility that this guy can be something more than he is, and that's what Michael Wacha is right now. He's finally waking up and having his changeup working, and it's all good. And now he gets the Cardinals, and it's like, yep, now we're comfortable starting Michael Wacha again. So that's really one of the more important things, I think, in fantasy baseball, is recognizing when these guys who just, you look at the whole season ERA, not what you want, all this stuff, but not only are they performing in the moment, they're also performing with a reason for that good success, right? It's not just like a random game or something. It's like, no, Michael Wacha has his change of feel now. He's commanding well, and this is what we see from him every year. Joey Estes, for example, nine innings, complete game shutout against the Angels. Kind of fitting considering he went against Daniel Davis, who did the same thing back to them for the most part last week. And I'm not really into Joey Estes. I don't think that he's very good. I think this was just a lot of like four seamers around, and I don't know. I don't want to start him against the Red Sox, but glad for him. Four Ks in nine innings. That doesn't seem very good, does it? 15 whiffs, fine. 11 over 56 on that four-seamer, which is not a very good four-seamer. Angels, wake up. Yeah, I just don't think that Joey S is this good. Colin Ray against Rockies in Coors. Got the win, seven innings, not complete game shutout, but seven innings of shutout ball, six innings, zero walks, and four strikeouts. The main thing here is it's a gold star and a Vargas rule if you want. Like, he had 11 over 23 cutter strikes. That is not good. It's sinkers and four-seamers over the plate in Coors, and he got away with it. Again, not into Colin Ray. If you want a mini Vargas rule, go ahead. I don't really like it. Dean Kramer against the Mariners almost had a golden goal because he was one whiff off at 16. Five innings, zero runs, four hits, two walks, eight strikeouts against the Mariners. Got the win. 36% CSWs. Pretty amazing. His high heater and splitter returned 15 whiffs on their own. So that's high four-seamers, eight whiffs, seven whiffs on the splitter. You love to see that. That is amazing stuff. Essentially, Blake Snell blueprint with that. And then the cutter, the one that's really helped him over the years. They earned enough strikes around the zone. And that's it. That's Dean Kramer. That's good. He gets the Cubs next. He gets a good win chance. I hope this is what we see moving forward from him. Brian Bayo, thank you so much for the redemption start against the Miami Marlins. Yes, blame it on the Marlins. Do whatever you want. 6.2 innings of 100 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Thank you. Changeup was spotted low, 63% strikes. The slider was effective. The sinker was around the zone enough. That's fine. It does feel a little bit like a Dennis just because this isn't perfection. Like, normally when I see Bayo, it's a congregation of sinkers and changeups around each other, and then sliders just hanging out. This wasn't that necessarily. Gets the Athletics next, but at least look, a step in the right direction. Good to see. I think we're going to go for that one against the Athletics. Andrew Abbott, he's so weird. I said, look, he went six walks last time with two strikeouts, and now against the Yankees, should we really trust this? Well, he did improve. It was 6.1 innings of one and run, three hits. Four walks, not six, and still two strikeouts. Still better! He's so weird. It's Rocky Road in Cincinnati, so I guess we go with that. I just feel like he's a cherry bomb. He's not going to return a called strike rate of 25% or higher against, well, with his four-seamer constantly, right? It's just so strange. I don't know. Okay, Chris Sale, ace is going to ace. Eric Fetty went into Cleveland, allowed a home run, because that's a very big home run park, and then survived. Six base runners, three walks in there, three strikeouts, like 15% overall CSW. He does get Minnesota next without Royce Lewis, so fine, he's a Toby, but yeah, not fun. Jared Jones, hey, look, he came back. Five innings, one run, four hits, two walks, five Ks, and he has a lat injury. And now he's on the IL. The IVB is still low anyway, but it's just, man, like, there it goes. By the way, this is actually a really good example of why you don't overplan for September. Jared Jones, guess what? Will be back by September. But if you trade him away because, oh my gosh, they're going to shut him down and everything. Well, now he's got an injury. He might be out, let's say, a month or something. There is your innings, right? Like, this is why I really, really cannot emphasize enough. Do not overplan for September. Just don't do that. You have Keydear Montero against the Twins. 6.1 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. You don't know who that is. He stepped in for Jack Flaherty and the Tigers. Actually, you could say Casey Mize, too. They're going down like flies over there. They need help. Guess who is also available for help? Jackson Job! He'll be here soon. I'm pretty sure. I think so. I hope so. I'm really getting excited about Jackson Job. I feel like Montero is not the answer, but at the same time, if they're dealing away with Flaherty and if Mize is on the IL and Matt Manning isn't looking good, like, okay, maybe Montero sticks around and Jackson Job sticks around. I would definitely be stashing Job. Anyway, for Montero, 0 for 35 whiffs on his four-seamer despite going 95-96. Should tell you enough about the pitch. He does have a pair of decent breaking balls, but I'm not really into this. He has a 77% zone rate on that fastball without a single whiff. Just think about that for a second. You have Miles Michaelis against the Pirates. 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He did what, you know, he was supposed to do last week. He allowed 9 runs there, so we thought, okay, it's reasonable not to start him against the Pirates, but there you go. It was kind of interesting where he threw 80% of his four-seamers in the zone, which I don't really love. But the sliders did work 33% of the time, and he earned strikes and gets the Nationals next, and that's fine. I don't really like it. Bottom of questionable start. Okay. Zach Wheeler against the Cubs. Ace is going to ace. Yusei Kikuchi. Oh, this is interesting. Against the Astros. So I've been saying, look, I think Kikuchi's better than he has been. He gets the Astros. Everyone's going to say no. But 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 7 base runners, 5 Ks. Like, that is a productive start for you. Yes, the 7 base runners and essentially 6 is not great. It's like a 121 whip or something like that. But you got 5 strikeouts. You got a good ERA. Almost got a win, but you didn't. No decision. Fine. But here's the thing. He went changeup, curveball, slider pretty much equally across the three of them. His four-seamer wasn't as overwhelming as you want it to be. It wasn't as up in the zone as you want, but it was still good. And get this, his changeup went 0 for 16 CSW. He earned just 4 strikes on 16 thrown. Stop throwing it! Now, to be fair, the slider wasn't as precise as we wanted either. The curveball was whatever. And this wasn't Kikuchi being super, precise or just in the best command we've seen. In the best command? Showcasing the best command that we've seen. But I mean, I don't know, Kikuchi's still really good. And I feel like the slider is getting back to what it was, and the fastballs, I gotta say, the fastball, its metrics are just so good. I think it's one of the most underrated fastballs in the league, and I feel as if Kikuchi will just explode in a good way once he has that secondary pitch that he really likes, which would be the slider, to really get guys wondering, what the heck do I do? Kind of think of it like Garrett Crochet needing that cutter. Kikuchi needs his slider. Rendon Blanco against the Jays, 5.2 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Both of these guys looked at each other in the eye and says, nobody's getting the win. This wasn't actually as good for Blanco as we've seen as far as just location and precision, but he was good enough and we move forward. Ryan Pepiot had terrible command, really. 4 innings, 200 runs is fine. Thank goodness, because 4 hits, 3 walks, and 0 Ks. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? It's really unfortunate considering he looks so good against the Mariners. Man, I don't want to give him a cherry bomb tag, but honestly, this is like the worst command I've seen. I don't think I've seen a single strikeout with 0 Ks and 3 walks from Pepiot. So what do we do now? Is this just like a one-time thing? Well, it has been right now, but also it's the Yankees next. I don't love that. My gut says you start Pepiot. I feel like something was up here and he should have better command next time. I'm not as afraid of the Yankees right now. They are slumping. And it's just Judge and Soto, really. Just like walk Judge and you're fine. You have Trevor Rogers against the Red Sox. 3 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. He was looking good through 2, and then he had 41 pitches in the third. 41! Ugh. I don't really love everything here. He threw harder with his fastball, 93-94. But it wasn't as absurdly precise as before. Like, I'm not even saying accuracy. I mean it more of just condensed in a nice section of the zone. Slider was in and out, same with the changeup, really underneath, and sometimes good, sometimes bad in that way. We're not there with Trevor Rogers. Now, we have other guys, of course, to talk about from yesterday's games, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break. By the way, I have a really good insight from the chat. Pepiot kept pounding at the rubber with his foot yesterday. Didn't catch that one, so that might explain just Pepiot just feeling really, really uncomfortable on the mound. Probably a one-time thing. Good stuff there, Nas. I would probably, it does make me a little more inclined to feel like, yeah, this isn't just like a downward trend of him. Shota Imanaga went yesterday. Ace is going to ace for six innings and 300 runs. And I did get my I'm an AGA shirt for Shota Imanaga. I'm really, really happy to finally get that one. There is worry, of course, that he's becoming Joe Ryan of last year, right? That is having this amazing 2 months, 2 to 3 months, and then all of a sudden the home runs catching up to him. Makes sense, too, being a fastball guy upstairs with the splitter underneath and guys realizing that they can take advantage of the fastball more often. That said, this is 6 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 8 Ks. He's also back to 17 inches of IVB, which is really good for Imanaga. It has been very interesting, actually, over the last like couple weeks to see a lot of pitchers lose the IVB, the vert on their fastball that they had earlier in the season. I wonder if that has to do with the hotter weather. Someone smarter than me can probably answer that. If it's a denser air, does that would make it better though, right? Maybe not. I don't know. I gotta talk to someone smarter. This is just me thinking out loud, like, why would IVB be going down dramatically for certain guys? Maybe it's because they're just getting more fatigued or something like that. I don't know. It's been kind of strange. Maybe they were just more excited in April and then they're settling down. Don't know. But something to at least think about. We showed Imanaga. We're still in ace territory here, as that's 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. And we're cool here. The home runs, I think, are... it's a volatile thing. Goes up and down. And I think over time, it will stabilize to be fine. Carlos Rodon needed a good start. It was 3 straight games of disaster, you could say, for Rodon. 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. And honestly, this was just 2 home runs. That's really it. What I really loved, honestly, about Carlos Rodon, and I think it might get overlooked by a lot of people, is that, yes, he was down to 94, 95, and go, oh no, 94.5 for Carlos Rodon, because that's everything. But it's not, because it was 3/4 breaking balls. Actually, secondaries. But yeah, weird, right? 75% of his pitches Carlos Rodon threw were not four-seamers. Sliders and changeups and curveballs, and those are what dominated the zone. Not to mention that Rodon had 17 to 18 inches of IVB, which is great. We love that. But it's wild. And the curve, I will say, was not helpful. 3 for 13 strikes. But the slider and changeup absolutely were. I mean, those were good. So this is kind of cool. What if Rodon is a guy that just pitches backwards now? Is that not, really, like, Matt Blake, after the last start, was saying he needs to really change his approach. Guys are really going in at the fastball and attacking that. So Rodon needs to fix it. And that's what he did here. Obviously, it didn't help twice here. But it was really, like, this is a cool thing. And to see this, to say, hey, look, Rodon has this in his back pocket. In a given game, he can really adjust on the fly. That's cool. Jordan Hicks against Atlanta. 5 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. So terrible ratios. Sure, you got 6 strikeouts, but not worth it here against Atlanta. He did get a gallows pull, 17 whiffs here. Co-share of it. Sweeper went 10 for 32 whiffs on that, but he got singled out. It was Atlanta. And honestly, we can't really depend on that sweeper returning for the next start. Dakota Hudson, whatever, not good. In Coors, shocking, more at 11. John Gray against the Padres just did not have his slider. 15% CSW, so he had a bad start. We need to see him in that groove for me to really lean into John Gray. I'm not doing this. We've had like 3 out of the last 4 games have been bad, and I'm just not doing that. We also had young guys show up yesterday in a big way. I mean, a lot of this. So I'm going to skip over Logan Gilbert against the Orioles. That's a one-night bland. Honestly, I think he did well, and it was the Orioles, and fine. But really, the rest of this is just young pitchers, and that's pretty fun. So all of them did badly, and that's not fun. The basic ones, sure, Davis Daniel against Oakland, 5.1 innings, 4 runs, not too shocking. We didn't really expect the 8 innings of shutout before. Maybe he does well against the Rangers. It's very, very boring. He's a Toby at best. Adam Mazur is getting more opportunities. He's doing the Dancing with the Disco. That is the Adam, not Adam Way, right? The Tony DeSclafani thing of sliders in the zone, whatever. And at least he's trying to do that, but the heater is just a little too far out. And like Adam Mazur ends up so far out with control. I think he's going to get better over time, but like you don't want to do that one. But now you have guys that actually people know about. So Christian Scott returned. So unlucky. This is so annoying. Because, I mean, sure, his 1 out of 52 four-seamers whiffs is not good, right? Just one whiff on 52 four-seamers is not what Scott is known for. And the thing is, though, he was cruising 5.2 innings with 1 run on the board. It was all fine. And then a 3-run shot on a sweeper inside to a lefty that came over in like middle in to Luis Garcia Jr. Ah, gosh. So that's a careful Icarus right there, and it's just the last pitch he threw. So annoying. You see his reaction and everything. Oh, man. It stinks because he was right there. So you're going to see this line of 400 runs and 2 strikeouts and go, oh, he was terrible. And actually, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, he wasn't great, but he almost got away with this. And now he gets the Pirates, so we're cool with Christian Scott. As for Christian Maina, he showed up. 3 innings, 400 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. I got to say, he's more of a breaking ball guy. And there are a lot of curveballs in this one, really leaning on the breaking stuff. It was the Dodgers. Four-seamer actually has decent metrics on it. So there might be something here with Christian Maina, who came over from the White Sox in the preseason to Arizona. I'm curious about this. Now, in deeper leagues, you might want to take a chance and see if this plays out, because now you have Jordan Montgomery on the IL, and really they're struggling to find anything of value in that rotation. Maina seems like that guy who's going to get that chance. And considering I saw in AAA those curve and slider, there might be actually something to this with that four-seamer as well. So something to monitor there. Gavin Stone just didn't do well against the Arizona Diamondbacks because he didn't have his changeup and only 21% usage. Least thrown pitch, that's just not the guy, and that's that. Mitchell Parker against the Mets, I don't think he pitched that badly. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. You know, he allowed a pair of home runs. And that's really it. 50% CSW on the curve, 45% CSW on 29 sliders and splitters combined. Yes, he had a low CSW on his fastballs, like a sub 20%. Good location, everything on it. You know, the curveball that was low allowed a home run. 2 high fastballs allowed a home run. Like, so it goes. You go against the Cardinals next, Mitchell Parker. I'm going to start you there. Gavin Williams came back from the IL against the White Sox. I wasn't thinking this as a still ill because he threw 82 pitches in AAA and looked like himself. And this wasn't it. This was sub 14 inches of IVB. Gavin Williams is so reliant on that four-seamer. That is throwing 95, 96 with great extension. We're talking like 7-plus feet of extension, which is amazing. But then usually 16, 16.5 IVB, which is great. It's not elite of like 17-plus, but like we'll take that. And especially with the velocity and the extension. But this was like 13.7. Like horrible. Like dead zone fastball. And even the White Sox can take advantage of that. So he allowed 5 hits on fastballs in the zone. He had 7 out of 10 strikes on the curve, which actually was a sub 50% strike rate last year, which is, hey, all right, maybe that isn't a 50% strike rate. I mean, obviously, very small sample. And then he has a slider, which is now being labeled as a cutter, that had a sub 60% strike rate. So really, end of the day, Gavin Williams, hi, get Vert back on your four-seamer, okay? Can you do that? Awesome. Thank you so much. I believe you will. Maybe it was just kind of a weird thing here, but that is the one concern, and I don't really have enough of a, I don't want to say track record, but just a feel for IVB yet to understand the ups and downs of the season. It's really my first full year really monitoring this, so I don't know how quickly those revert and how easy that is to do. So I hope it is. It should be. We're seeing that with Luis Gil too. Gavin Williams, that's the area where I think that, well, you got to get that back. And David Festa against the Tigers. I don't think he pitched terribly. Really, 5 innings, 7 runs, 9 hits. Yeah. 0 walks, 6 Ks. But, like, he allowed a long ball in each of his pitches. 1 and 2 and 3 of fastball, curveball, and slider. Sorry, changeup and slider, not curveball. Her heater was at the very top of the zone. Okay. And, yeah, he had too many, like, middle height than at the edges that you want. But, like, I'm sticking with him against the White Sox. I feel like you can do that. I feel like in a 12-teamer that you should do it, really. And I know people be like, no, he's not good. He's bad, Nick. You shouldn't do this. I don't know. I trust the skills, and it's a really bad offense. And he's a young guy who, like, this could be the start that is actually the one that clicks in. It's a pretty decent floor with the White Sox. And I know this is the Tigers, but the Tigers have, like, weird games where they just attack certain things, and they all of a sudden it works out. I don't know. They're weird. They're more volatile in a good way. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's games because, of course, today's have already started. You don't need my any help there. I mean, it's Jared Schuster instead of Gavin Stone, and you don't want to do Jared Schuster. Okay, cool. Tomorrow, it's Max Fried, Paul Skeens, Cole Reagans, Aaron Nola. It's Ace Day, guys. Sonny Gray. Luis Castillo, Tanner Bibee, all auto starts. You have Justin Steele, Tanner Houck, and Pablo Lopez, and Houck and Lopez are the only ones that like really have bad outing matchups. You have Houck against the Yankees, Lopez against the Astros. You're doing it. Just do it, okay? Pablo Lopez after two great starts. I know worse opponents. You got to test them here. You got to do it. Probable starts here. Kevin Gausman gets the Mariners. I guess we're going to do that one. Freddy Peralta gets the Dodgers. That's... I don't know. He's looking good, but there is a much lower floor there. Reese Olson against Sin City. That is in Cincinnati. Nestor Cortez against Boston in New York. Luis Severino. And really, I want to say at Nestor Cortez is like, yeah, those are the typical probable starts. The bottom five here are all streams. And you have like Luis Severino against Pittsburgh. You have Albert Suarez against the Athletics. Drew Thorpe against the Marlins. Michael Lorenzen against the Rays. And Carson Spires against the Tigers. All of those are solid to me. So I'm going with Albert Suarez for the highest win chance there. You have questionable start tier of Shane Baz and Walker Buehler both returning from the IL. We've waited 2 years for Baz, and it feels like we've waited 2 years for Buehler too. So both are still ills, and I don't want to do it, but I understand that there is a chance that these guys do come through. So if you're looking for a Hail Mary, fine, but I don't want to do it. Griffin Cannon gets the Cubs. That could be fine too. If you want something with a little bit higher floor than the other two I mentioned, that's Griffin Canning. And Roderick Munoz against the White Sox could do well with committing the edges. And they do not start here. Sean Dubin, I don't know how long he's going to go against the Twins. It's without Royce Lewis, but he doesn't have the worst stuff here. He throws like 95 and change. He has a decent cutter and breaking balls of a curveball and a sweeper. It could be fine, but I don't know how long he's going to go. Hogan Harris against the Orioles, no. Cal Harrison against the Guardians in Cleveland, no thank you. Slay Ciccone, actually, I learned it is, against the Padres. Don't want to do that. Randy Vasquez on the other side, no. Kyle Freeland in course hosting the Royals, no thanks. And Patrick Corbin, who at least is trying something new, is hosting the Cardinals, but no, don't want to do that. Have a wonderful July 4th. I will have a podcast tomorrow morning before I head off to Cape Cod. No streams, guys, until I'd say Tuesday the 16th is when I'll do the list. I'm going to be flying back from Cape Cod on a Monday the 15th. But that is it, guys. So thank you all so much for listening. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.